show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
The journey to wisdom begins with an open mind.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for May 19, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. This is the thing we call Technorama. Hey, if you're a returning listener, welcome back. You know all of the spiel. You know what's going on. We appreciate you giving us your time again. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me, he's back from vacation. It's Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I just flew in from Florida, and boy, are my arms tired.
Oh, man, you gotta let me... Wait, you gotta let me get the rim shot going on that thing. There,
yes,
thank you.
No, thank you. Actually, we were in yesterday. But it doesn't matter. We had a good time. I'm back, and I'm ready to get at it.
All right, then let's get at it. We want to remind you before we get at it, though, that this show is sponsored by Citrix GoTo Assist Express, the wonderful remote diagnostic program that lets you see what's on somebody else's computer so you can do remote troubleshooting from
with their consent.
Yeah, that's usually a good idea. You have to like say, hey, please go to this URL, and they click or type it in or whatever, and poof, you can see what's on their screen, because half the battle of diagnosing computer problems is seeing what the other person is seeing, especially if they're not as tech savvy as you, because we know that a lot of the listeners to this show are tech savvy.
Yeah, I hope so.
Or like us, they act like it.
Yeah, you just smile and act like you belong.
Yes, I'm feverishly working on your computer problem while I Google the answer, and then I can click on the right things using GoTo Assist Express.
Why isn't my mouse moving? Hold on, I'm looking, I'm doing something.
Right. We've used it, we like it, we recommend it. Try it free for 30 days at gotoassist.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. Once again, gotoassist.com/techpodcast.
Hey, if you need help, call us. We'll even remote in and type it in for you.
Yeah, gotoassist.com/techpodcast.
Just kidding.
Coming up in this episode, we've got gadgets that never were, the Terminator's secret mission, and an art legend passes away. All that and more coming up right after this.
Let's rock and roll.
The darkness is coming. Visit ontheedgeofdarkness.com.
Hey, this is Alan Ruck, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig, and they're no damn good.
Yeah, so says he, but he's not everybody. Is Alan Ruck even listening to Technorama in the last 30, 40 seconds?
Hey, he's Hollywood. He can have his own opinion. No, we don't care about his opinion. Yeah.
Before we get too far into this, we want to remind you that you can be part of the show every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Join us by going to chuckchat.com/technorama. There you will see Craig's and my beautiful faces. And we always send out a Twitter beforehand, too. So just as a reminder, you can see our faces. You can participate in the chat room. And in the chat room, they have this tradition every week of changing their names just to be funny. And Clinton said it's legally changing your name. I did a little checking on that. No, it's not. It's not. You don't have to worry about it.
Is it like kind of like if you perform a marriage in a play, it's not really, you know, legal?
Right. Well, you have, if you have a legal minister, would it be? Or a captain of a ship?
I don't know.
I'm the captain of this podcast, and I get to read the names.
I'm the captain of this podcast.
We have Gru, we have Test Mad, we have Step K and C Tomasi. We have AD Little Less Conversation. Wow. Someone's getting snippy at us.
I don't know.
We have Ben Vaughn. We have Claude D.O.M. We have Jailhouse Rock Tim. Mark Shepard. Mark Shepard has joined us.
Whoa.
That is a whoa.
Although I see him on Twitter all the time. But
we have Nightstar.
He graced our chat room.
Now, you know the Claude D.O.M. thing, because the day we recorded this, Ronnie James Dio passed away.
Oh, right.
Ah, I got one. I don't get these chat room themes very often.
Yeah. Chuck runs right by him. It's like in the middle of the night, you go, oh, that's what it was.
You know what happened.
Wake up from your sleep.
You heard the last show. I was totally on another planet. Missed Mother's Day entirely.
Did you make it up to your mother?
Oh, yeah. I called her Monday. She was fine.
Oh, I thought Mother's Day was today. Sorry, Mom.
Darn time zone. See, she's in Eastern time zone. I'm in Central, so I call her a day late.
Oh, okay. I was in Malaysia again, and it was yesterday.
No, I wouldn't be in Malaysia, because that was my old job.
I know. I'm just saying, you know. Oh, well.
Had to go see if there were any jobs over there.
Yeah.
Looking at the birthday calendar, happy birthday on the 22nd to Tim Elliott. He's in the chat room as Jailhouse Rock Tim. Ah! And on the 23rd is Chris Zeil, host and producer of the AVS cast and 24 Under Review. Recommend both of those people as birthday people. If it happens to be your birthday and you're not on the birthday calendar, we wish you all the best. And if you want to be on the birthday calendar, you've got a birthday coming up. Put it on the wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki. We'd love to see you there. Oy, boy, we are just booking along, aren't we?
Oy vey. I thought that's what you were going to say.
I'll save that one for another time. All right. What does that mean? It means it's time for the news.
Yay. Good news, everyone.
First up in the news. Oh, it's not good news. I should have played the other one.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know it's not good news. Frank Frazetta, you know, had passed away, I guess it's been about a week ago now, but it happened while I was on vacation. I was like, man, that really bums me out because I love this guy's art. I've always loved it. And I don't know why exactly, but it's just the kind of tones that he has. It's very famous for making like the Conan and, you know, the barbarian type action shots and
Molly Hatchet,
scantily clad women.
Molly Hatchet, man, flirting.
Molly Hatchet, a lot of you know, album covers.
Yep.
He did a lot of I was just reading. I didn't realize he had done all these, but the Edgar Rice Burroughs books, like the John Carter Mars.
Oh,
stuff,
really?
The reissues of those. He did the cover art for the books, and yeah, I mean his stuff's everywhere. If you don't think you've seen it, I'm sure you have seen it somewhere.
He likes naked women, doesn't he? Or nearly naked, muscular women.
Do you have something to share, Chuck?
I'm just noting a theme in a lot of his graphics.
Yes. Well, you know, it's like a rough and tumble times there. That's what it's kind of... But yes, there are a lot of naked women, so be sure not to look at this at work.
Yeah, not a semi-safe for work.
But I love the art. He captures action pretty well and emotion, you know, and just the moment when something's about to happen, like... there's like a little small guy with a spear and like a huge monster coming in. You know, it's just that moment where you can just know that guy's going to nail it and walk home.
I was looking earlier. I was looking for a book that had similar cover art and I was going to check if it was by him, but his armor and stuff is a lot more sensible than this book. I remember it's kind of flaky, but it was early 80s too.
Well, you know, and it says here in the article that his art has pretty much influenced the way people perceive the Dungeons and Dragons type stuff. You know, the armor, capes, you know, swords, and like you said, scantily clad women, you know, and they're all in battle, get some dragon or whatever. It's, you know, it's hard to say that, you know, he, of course, was an influence on a lot of stuff.
That's true. Fantastic. That's true. Mm-hmm. He has done that. So we wish him all the best, him and his family. We're going to miss him.
In the afterlife.
Him. Yeah, and we hope that more people take up on that, the influence that he left behind. Because that is neat It's fun mm-hmm. to look at. When I was a kid, did you ever like sit and stare at pictures and try and figure out what was happening beyond the borders or the story that was leading up to the picture that you see?
Are we talking about the naked women part again? Yeah.
No, no, just art in general.
Yes, of course I have. That's okay. That's me. I'm an artist and of sorts. So, yes, I've always looked at, especially even comic books, just thinking, just wishing you could almost see it move or, what kind of story they're trying to tell. And that's some of these, like the guy, here's one. Here's a guy, it looks like some kind of Neanderthal. He's got a knife and a panther's coming at him. What's going to happen? It's just that moment where
he's gonna get. He's gonna be turned into panther food if all he's got is a knife.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's a skilled knifer person or whatever. What do you call a knife?
A chef. What?
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay's gonna jump in that picture in a minute. What are you doing here? Anyway, so I don't know. It's just yes, those are the kind of pictures that capture my attention because you're like, wow, it's what in the world's going on? There's a battle and. It's just this is a defining moment. The guy's got the sword in his hand. He's about to nail, or spear. He's about to nail this creature, kind of thing.
Yep. All right. I think it's time for Lenny to make a guest appearance real fast or to use one of his previous recordings.
All right.
Acts and Strange Stories.
We got to get Lenny back here for a segment or two.
Yeah.
We never did find out what happened to him after last Dragon Con.
I think he's still wandering. I don't know.
Aimlessly wandering around the country. We got some kid that claims to be his son. This can't be all that good.
No.
Whoop, wait a minute. I lost my image here. There we go. All right. First up is from NCAV. This is listed as best idea ever. I have my doubts.
I don't know if it came from NCAF. It's got to be a pretty good idea, right?
Well, I've seen something similar to this before. This uh-huh. is...
I have not seen this one, by the way.
You haven't seen this? This no. is sort of a poor man's Roomba for your lawn.
Oop. Oh, with a stake and a rope?
Yeah, it's more than a stake, though. It's more like a spool. So that
I see it.
The circumference of the spool is the same as the width, the deck of the lawnmower.
Sure. I've seen people do this before. Actually, what's wrong with this? Well, the only problem is you can't get the corners of the yard.
You can't get the corners. It's only going to save a few minutes because you still got to go out there and rescue it. What happens when the thing gets to the middle? That's what I want to know. It's just going to run into that pole and start dragging things around.
I don't know. It doesn't finish, does it?
No, it doesn't finish. That's the disappointing part.
I guess we got to send this one into the Mythbusters.
It goes around and around and around, and they never finish the video because it's still got about probably four cycles left.
Guess the guy's got to put the camera down and run out there and turn it off.
Well, fortunately, this was put on a tripod.
Oh, okay.
You can tell still, it's too steady.
That works. I've heard of people doing this before.
But if... First of all, mine can't do this because it's self-propelled, but I would call it semi-self-propelled. Because the lawn is so bumpy, if you hit the wrong spot, it's just going to get stuck and dig in. And then you're going to wind up with this bare scalped part of the yard.
Yeah, and that I borrowed my dad's lawnmower before, and it's like that. It's like when you engage the transmission, the front two wheels kind of pull along. And if I try to pull backwards, it's like makes a little trench, But I got a better solution to cut your grass than this. Do you know what I do?
Your kids?
No, I pay this guy $25 to come cut my yard.
I was paying one of the neighbor kids $20 until Lisa outbid him at $10.
So I'll
pay my own kid $10 to cut my own lawn.
And give you a $2 tip.
Right. But then she started yesterday and quit because it ran out of gas, filled it up with gas, couldn't get it restarted, and then just left it. So I had to finish. She doesn't get paid. I only pay for complete jobs.
Yeah, well.
Lesson in business.
Yes, that's true.
All right, second one we've got is a Lego recreation of the most useless machine. And
really?
Yeah. I was wondering...
What is the most useless machine, Chuck? Wait a minute. Before this, wait, let's think for a second. What would be the most useless machine?
I was just thinking the most useless machine would be just a box.
That's not a machine.
Why not?
Well, let's define a machine.
Okay. See, I don't know. That's why I was curious. I can think of some simple machines. This one is a Lego box. You flip the switch, and a little hand comes out and flips it off.
There you go. A machine is any mechanical or electrical device that transmits or modifies energy to perform or assist in the performance of human tasks.
See, if you simplify it down to, like, well, maybe the most simple machine is a screw or a spring or a lever. Those are simple machines, but they're not useless. They're very useful.
I think Graceland Mark in the chat room came up with a good one. A useless machine is one that doesn't run.
Okay, so 67 Chevy Bel Air.
On blocks out in the yard.
That would be a good one. Graceland Mark.
Anyway. Yes, okay, so let's talk about this one. Okay, this is the Lego recreation of the most useless machine.
Yeah. YouTube user Invisibules created Minsky and Shannon's most useless machine, a box with a switch on it. Switch it on, and a hand emerges from the box and flips the switch to off using Lego.
Oh, yeah.
The hardest part was probably getting the flap to operate easily and smoothly and open and close at the correct parts of the cycle. Careful design at the pusher allowed the hole to be fairly small in the later prototypes. There were probably around 10 partial or complete prototypes before I found a reliable method and layout. I used the latest prototypes as a reference for the next, so try and have enough bricks around to keep several on the go at once. Now, that's actually pretty cool when you think about the levers and mechanics. That'd be a good exercise for, like, teaching basic mechanical engineers or something.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That'd be a lot of fun. All right.
I'm sorry. I'm still trying to think of what would be the most useless machine. Actually, if you, the listener, not you, Chuck, if you, the listener, have a suggestion of what you think the most useless machine ever is,
call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Thanks for the cue.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I know what machine he's talking about. It looks like the thing from Adam's Family comes out and takes a corn or something.
Yep, that's the one. Thanks, thing. All right. Something a little more useful.
You rang.
Yeah.
Something a little more useful is someone took a Motorola droid, built a Lego robot around it, and built it to solve a Rubik's Cube in about 25 seconds.
I disagree. It's not useless.
Oh, I didn't say it was useless. I said something a little more useful.
Oh, a little more useful. Yes, of course. Just kind of neat. You know, you wrote an app again for the Motorola droid, and the cube is kind of sitting down in fingers of Lego. Is that how you describe
it? Yeah, it's sort of, it looks like a very mechanical thing. Mm-hmm. So unless, of course, you happen to be the current world record holder, this thing will solve it faster than you, who can solve a cube in under 20 seconds, this Lego Mindstorms bot was built by ARM and managed to solve the cube in 25 seconds flat. The Mindstorms robot was programmed using a Motorola droid, which runs an ARM A8 processor clocked at 550 megahertz to show the speed of their chips. A specially built app takes a photo of the cube's side facing the camera, with the commands being sent to the Mindstorm robot over Bluetooth. I didn't know Mindstorm had Bluetooth.
I think it's a new option, to be honest with you, because Harrison really wants one of these things, the Mindstorm, and the robot. I'm sorry, you know, the robot thing. And I was looking, and I think I remember seeing Bluetooth on there.
Ooh, now I'm really starting to want one.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, you can. I saw on Amazon, they got these little nubs to hook right into your USB that's Bluetooth for like $2. $2, man. That is nothing.
What is technology like coming to?
I know, it's cheap and powerful. So
it's not fair. I just
not fair.
Scrimp and scrape for a $1,500 300 meg hard drive once upon a time.
Yeah. And now they're just falling out of the sky. So anyway, but yeah, it was like $2 and some change. You can get a little Bluetooth adapter for your, you know, so it'd be cool to be able to operate something wirelessly across the room. It'd be neat.
Yeah, it would. And so I can remember how to solve the Rubik's Cube because I used to be able to one time.
I'll make a Lego Mindstorms robot to go get me a beer. Via Bluetooth.
Name it Bluetooth. Yeah. Fetch. It just pulls up his Nexus One. Says beer.
Yeah, this is great until it to see how long it takes to actually get it to execute.
it's the beer much, app.
There's too much lag time between beers. Got to order one when I get the next one. Yeah.
Enough about beer. We have a couple of things in the Remember When segment, something we haven't heard of in a while.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Gru said to name the beer-fetching Lego robot Robo-Chuck.
Hey, I'm good with that. I can handle some licensing royalties.
Yeah, he says, oh, man, that name brings me back. And it brings me back, too. Remember the IRC bot I wrote?
Yep.
Robo-Chuck? Yep. Yeah, that was cool.
The Clinton, our guest from last week from Comedy Forecast, sends us a link to the Palm Pilots and accessories that never were. This is courtesy of technologizer.com in the list.
Hey, maybe they're releasing all this because HP bought them and they're like, we don't need this crap.
Right. It's declassified information. Yeah, it's like
right.
The fall of the Soviet Union here.
Yeah, or maybe they go, wait. We want to use number 4 of 11. You know, the.
Yeah. I thought. Some of these were fairly ingenious. Some of them I just cannot figure out. Like number 3, the wireless phone with removable personal information manager. Sounds kind of cool, although the design looks a little pre-Razor kind of clunky. But imagine if you had your cell phone and your PDA, this is revolutionary at the time, combined into one, but you could separate them at any time.
That would be cool. It'd be like Tony Stark-like.
Although,
have you seen the Iron Man? Have you seen the Iron Man 2 movie?
Nope, not yet.
He had this little handheld thing, you know, about no bigger than his palm, but it was translucent screen, so there was really nothing to it, you know. And he's typing on it and moving things over. It's really cool. But that reminded me of this. You know, you could pull it off and just carry it around, which you know I don't think it's that far off with nowadays.
It was filed in 1998, and you know, that was long before the Trio came out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I always thought it would be neat to have a three-part phone. One that would be your Bluetooth headset, so it was very light, easy to you know, keep on you. The other would be the PDA part that you could have in your hand, and then the other would be the actual like phone transmitter or whatever. But I guess you could do that in two parts now, or just...
You know, and there is a phone, I don't know if it's still in production, but there was a phone that had a Bluetooth earpiece that it would snap on the back of it. So it would be charging,
okay.
You know, while it was on it,
yeah.
And then you just pull it off and stick it on your ear. But you know, you got moving parts and stuff. You know, I don't know, but yeah, it looked cool. It was a great idea.
What were some of these? Some of these just didn't make absolutely no sense. Wall mount cradle for personal digital assistants. A wall mount cradle. Do we need that? Except maybe next to the nightstand.
I've got a nail and there's, you know, glue.
Non-rigid mounting of a foldable display. Did we ever get foldable displays?
No, but you know what? By the way, the wall mount cradle, it worked for the iPad. Stick it up there and make it a picture frame.
I was thinking about just stick some magnets to the back of it and put it on the refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll work.
The movable display device for three-dimensional image creation. And what do they use for their three-dimensional image creation? The teapot.
The teapot. My nemesis.
Now we know why there's a teapot in the Computer History Museum.
You know what? T is the cradle of innovation.
They had a thing for these split keyboards where half of the keys were on the left and half of the keys were on the right. Although there was a foldable keyboard, which I had one of those for my palms. But this particular one also had kind of a dockable numeric keypad. And I like their explanation here. Patent filed December 30th, 2004. This looks strikingly like Apple's new iPad keyboard dock, but it's really a folding keyboard a la Think Outside's famous Stowaway. You have to be kind of nerdy to use a folding keyboard. Thanks. You have to be kind of nerdy to love numeric keypads, and you have to be really nerdy to want a folding keyboard with a companion numeric keypad.
Yeah. Well, actually, the folding keypads were kind of neat.
You stick them in your bag, and away you go.
Yeah, I actually had one, but it was like a Bluetooth version. The Bluetooth on it was version 1 or 1.1 or something. It was like incompatible with half the devices I had. I was like, forget it. I give up.
Yeah, early Bluetooth wasn't real good, was it?
No, it's actually gotten really good lately because I don't really have any incompatibilities. But early on, it's like, oh, you can do this, but you have to have compatible versions.
So. Right. Speaking of compatibility, NCAF also sent us a link over to, through various things, but eventually it resolves to James Irie at blogspot.com, a brief, incomplete, and mostly wrong history of programming languages. I'm not sure why I even read this if it says mostly wrong, but there are some facts in here. 1801, Joseph Marie Jacquard uses punch cards to instruct a loom to weave Hello World into tapestry. Redditors of the time are not impressed due to the lack of tall call recursion, concurrency, or proper capitalization. Now I know why I read this.
That's funny.
In 1936, Alan Turing invents every programming language that will ever be, but he is shanghaied by British intelligence to be a 007 before he can patent them.
Wait a minute. Reddit, is it referring to the site Reddit?
Yeah.
In 1801?
right. 1940s, various computers are programmed using direct wiring and switches. Engineers do this in order to avoid the tabs versus spaces debate.
Nice.
Greg, why didn't we come up with this?
I know. Gosh.
1957, John Backus and IBM create Fortran. There's nothing funny about IBM or Fortran. It is a syntax error to write Fortran while not wearing a blue tie.
Not a blue tie.
It's a blue suit with a red tie.
Was it a red tie that the IBM guys wore?
Blue suit, white shirt, red tie.
Okay. Is that part of the song?
What song?
The IBM song?
Oh, the IBM songbook. I forgot about that.
What song? We gushed over it.
One more. 1987, Larry Wall falls asleep and hits Larry Wall's forehead on the keyboard. Upon waking, Larry Wall decides that the string of characters on Larry Wall's monitor isn't random, but an example program in a programming language that God wants his prophet Larry Wall to design. Pearl is born.
Yay! Thanks, Larry Wall.
Larry Wall hits his head and invents Pearl.
Actually, I thought you were reading the one about Lisp. You know, hit his head on the... Anyway.
Oh, a lot of fun there. All right, I believe it's time to take a quick break into the Media Corner. So we will be right back
with the Media Corner.
With the Media Corner. Hey, I got a new sweeper. You want to hear it?
Yes, please.
What was that iPod, the tiny little iPod called?
The Nano? Ico? The Femto?
Groucho? Harpo? Chico?
It was called the Gummo. Nano. Micro. The digital Marx Brothers, you know, Marx Brothers 2.0.
I'll have to go buy some more mints. I mentioned that I'm out of work.
Just leave them to twist slowly in the wind.
I knew if I invited you guys for something, you laugh.
You're listening to Chuck and Craig with Technorama. Did I say that right? Where's my money? You say you give me $10. Now get out of here.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Forgot my Media Corner still image. There it is.
The Terminator's real mission.
The Terminator's real mission. Let me get that up there on the still store cambot.
The Terminator's real mission is to get power out of the rapid charger and destroy Apple.
Is that what that the charge cart rapid charger? I missed that the first time around. I'm like, he put money in a vending machine or something, and I didn't get it. Now it makes sense.
Yes, there you go.
Thank you, oh wise one.
What's funny is he did all that and he thanked the person that gave him the money.
This is
thank you.
This is really, really well done in terms of graphics.
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
I was astounded.
The CG, he did a great job with it.
He's sitting outside an Apple store.
Begging for money.
What did his sign say? It's coming up in a sec. The video's on the screen.
Let me mute it. Yeah, but it's funny because, you know, it's like any video you see some schmuck make out in the, you know, street.
There he is. The videographer walks up, and there's a Coke machine and a charge. What is it? Charge station? Something. Hungry, please help.
Hungry, please help.
I thought it was my sign that says we'll work for Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, this is pretty cool. Well, very well done.
The shadowing, the reflections, I just thought it was amazing how well it was put together. For an amateur thing, I'm wondering how the heck they did this.
I don't know, but they did a good job with it. Anyway, that's probably why it's only 4 minutes.
You could equally do one for the BSG Cylons, too.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be fun?
You're the one with all the time on your hands. Why don't you do it?
Sure. I've got less time than I had when I was working.
Too much time on my hands.
Here we go with the sing. Can we do a show without singing anymore?
No.
No. All right. Anyway. That is a lovely segue. Thank you very much. Speaking of singing, IO9 has Total Recall, the musical. All singing, all dancing, all Arnold.
All awful.
It's actually kind of funny.
You know, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't done my research for the show. So.
Oh, we got Craig on the ropes.
I like the music. Total Recall.
It
want to be somebody.
He starts out singing, and it's a sort of kind of Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I am.
I'll stop it. But yes, that is pretty funny.
Of course, it's all done in the Arnold accent.
Oh, they're all that in the spacesuits and Mars.
All right, but he keeps flashing back, and the lyrics are really very creative.
That is pretty good.
If you're not a Total Recall fan, never mind. If you are, you got to see it.
Who can't be? It's just a fun movie. You know, you got the Martians, you got lore, and you got Quato coming out of a chest. Come on. It's not a good movie unless you got an alien stuck in somebody's chest or coming out of it.
Well, okay, I'll give you that.
See?
Aliens coming out of bodies is always a good thing, right?
That's right. Now, the next thing I had in here that I threw in here was, you remember that we talked about this, the movie Short Pixels?
Yes.
The one with the had Donkey Kong and the,
yes,
the Tetris on the real buildings and stuff, and everything was pixelating. Well, it turns out that Adam Sandler's company bought the rights, and they're going to adapt it into a movie.
A whole movie?
A whole movie.
Adam Sandler adapting Web Short Pixels. Patrick Jean, the French filmmaker behind Web Short Pixels. Oh, get this ad off the screen. I'm trying to read. Yes,
we know about Iron Man.
I think it's Patrick Jean.
Is it?
The French filmmaker behind the web shorts Pixels has teamed up with Adam Sandler's production company, Happy Madison, to develop a feature version. There are talks with Sony's Columbia Pictures to set up the project, blah, 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 blah. Pixels became a hit in April with its 1980s video game characters attacking New York City. Heat Vision says the plan is to make a Ghostbusters-style action comedy in which the characters come out of a video game and wreak havoc in the real world.
Well, I thought it said Meat Vision.
Yeah. You ever watched the Fairly Odd Parents?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the parents ended up with Meat Vision.
Right.
Or the dad, I've got Meat Vision. And he had like hot dogs, you know, hot dog links coming out of his eyes.
That's what I was talking about.
Is it? Is that what it is? I've got Meat Vision.
So what do you think a movie adaptation of this web short would look like?
Probably Adam Sandler running around in his pajamas trying to get video games back into the video game.
Oh no, the pixels are
the cabs are falling apart. Oh, dear.
Yeah. And he busts into his opera man.
It would involve all the same actors that is in all of his movies doing the same thing.
Why don't we get Will Ferrell in there, too, while we're attacking this thing?
Will Ferrell and Adam Sandler in the same movie?
It just said Adam Sandler's production facility. It didn't say it was him making the movie. We can only hope.
Yeah, true. Anyway, if it looks half as good as the little short does, I'll watch it.
That's true.
But then again, there's a lot of crap I'll watch.
I'll give you that. I'm not arguing there.
Yeah. I'm not as discerning as I sound on the top podcast.
All right, we've got a few minutes left. Tell us about your trip this last week to Florida. You did some cool stuff, didn't you?
I did. We went down to Florida, and we didn't go to Mouse Land, but we did go to Universal Studios, which was a lot of fun.
Do they still have the Marvel characters?
Yes, they do, even though Disney now owns them, which
I'm surprised. I mean, you can't just rip out the Hulk roller coaster, but you could take the characters from riding around on their four-wheelers.
Oh. Have you been to the Islands of Adventure?
Yeah, a couple times.
Okay, so you rode the Hulk roller coaster?
Oh, yeah.
Worth every penny. That was awesome. So anyway, let me back up. We went to the Islands of Adventure, and we went to we did the Hulk roller coaster 2 to 3 times, which I love Bruce Banner's like, I think this time my experiment's going to work. I'm like, oh, great. It's like the last words he says.
Yep.
But that was cool. The Simpsons ride also made an impression on me because it was fantastic.
Isn't that neat? That was neat. It was a long line, but it was a fun ride.
Yes, it was great. And you know what? As I was standing there, I realized that's where Back to the Future was. That was the Back to the Future
ride. You're right. That was Back to the Future ride.
They didn't change anything except for, of course, the facade and the theme.
Right. But the motion rides are the same.
They put you in a room. The rides come. Yeah.
And they moved the DeLorean to the other side of the park.
I didn't even see it.
Did you see the steam train?
No. Oh,
they're together. They're over, way over.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I found out that the ride is actually in Japan now.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So whatever that.
Now, was the Harry Potter thing done? They were still building that when I was there a year ago.
That's what I'm working up to. Hold on a second. Let me run down those two things. I went to the Terminator ride, which it's T2, based on T2, which, you know, is old as dirt now, but it was a lot of fun to see. Mm-hmm. Finally see for me. The Shrek 4D thing was cool.
Did you go on Dr. Doom's drop? It was the two towers that go up. And it's a free fall ride. How do you miss it? It's right in the Marvel comic land.
No, I didn't see that.
You missed a good one.
Well, I did take a lot of pictures of Marvel stuff, which was cool. Anyway,
did you take a picture of the storm drain?
Yes, that was funny. Actually, there was a lot of little things like that if you pay attention. But yes, I got a lot of pictures. I'll be posting up from that, and a lot of them were, you know, characters all. You know, I like how they're coming off of the buildings, you know. It's like Xavier's, like, in his flying wheelchair. And, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff. I didn't see the Harry Potter thing because it's not open until June 18th.
Really?
So,
oh, that's disappointing. They've been pimping it all over the TV.
I know. Well, here's the deal. We were planning our trip, and, you know, Kim, of course, is a huge Harry Potter fan. And I am, too. And Harrison is as well. But we were like, oh. The spring, it's opening the spring, it's opening the spring, as we all heard.
Right.
So we're like, when's spring? You know, and we're thinking, oh, it's going to be perfect. Perfect time. No.
June 18th is like the second to last day of spring. What kind of,
yeah.
It's like a software company saying, oh, we're releasing it in Q4.
Yeah. Well, however, I did get a, well, we went, there's, you know, the two dragon.
The double dragon roller coasters.
Yeah. Well, we went to ride that. As we got closer to it, I kept hearing the, you know, the song from Harry Potter.
They play it on the speakers.
Playing on the speaker. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, we're in the area. Dragons, of course, you know, and the guy's got glasses like Harry Potter. I was like, duh. And I'm kind of peeking through the wall, the makeshift wall, so you can't see the construction over there. And I heard, no peeking. I was like,
they got you again, just like in the Star Trek ride.
Yeah.
Keep your hands to yourself, mister.
Yeah, so I couldn't really look through there, but you couldn't help but take a picture of Hogwarts. I got the castle part of the building. Yeah.
See, that looked, then, when I was there, it was just steel girders. It looked really funny. There was absolutely no illusion to it.
Yeah. Well, you should see it. They've got it down to where it looks like the perfect scale. So when you're at a certain angle, it looks huge in the distance. But when you get up to it, it looks small, but it still looks kind of big. You know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's. I was wondering how they're going to do that because it looked like just an oversized garage when I was there.
Yeah. No, it's a forest perspective, and it looks great. Hogsmeade. Looks good, all the crooked looking chimneys and stuff. I'll post them up and show you what I've got. But and you could see people moving around over there like they were working on it. So yeah, we missed it. It stinks. But anyway, I thought the Islands Adventure area was much better than the Universal Studios itself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But each one had their pluses and minuses. Oh, the Men in Black ride was great.
Any did you pick up anything for that we need for our costumes for Dragon Con?
Oh, crap, I didn't even think
about it. Dude, you have to exit through the gift shop. How did you not pick up a neuralizer?
Well, I am so immune to the gift shop. I'm just like, okay, let's go. You know, because you know, everything sends you through the gift
Major
shop.
Fail.
Probably.
Go back.
That's all right. We got the internet.
Go back.
Yeah, I'll go back.
I'll bet
all
they're
right.
cheaper at the gift shop, honestly.
I beg to differ. I don't know. Maybe.
Might
be a toss-up on that. But no, I had a great time. It was nice to do something a little different than just Disney. So anyway, the other part of my trip, which was kind of unexpected when we were planning, was the shuttle was taking off.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yes. And you know...
Was this coincidence or was it planned?
No. We'd pushed our trip back a few times because of events coming up. You know, it's like, all right, well, we'll put our trip off. And, you know, we homeschool, so we can really go at any time. So, no, it was a coincidence that I just happened to look and say, I wonder if the shuttle's launching it. I went, oh, my gosh, it is. It's launching when we're going to be there. So
cool.
We made a day trip to Titusville. Actually, I tried to get tickets to go to Kennedy the day they were on sale, and there was no way I was getting in there. Actually, JT from the GigCast, he'd made it in. I guess his
neat
kid was in a field trip that was already pre-planned.
How would you like to chaperone a field trip to this space?
Well, I told
you,
do you need a spot for three more people? But no. Anyway, so we went to Titusville. That place was a madhouse.
Uh-huh.
I had never seen that many people unless it was a football game or something. It was crammed in that whole area. We were at the Space View Park. And that's what that little symbol sign is on my Flickr account. And not you can go look at the pictures at your leisure, but that's where we were at. So I'm standing there in a street. Me and Harrison are standing there. My wife's with her stuff. And I hear 3, 2, 1. And I didn't know when. I couldn't really see the shuttle actually leaving the launch pad right immediately. So I had to kind of gauge when everybody's going, ooh, you know, to know to start taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I saw it, I started snapping pictures. And it went off the, you know, it went over our heads in a nice arc. I got some pictures with it, and I zoomed in and kind of cropped it so you can see the shuttle sitting on top of the exhaust. It's very cool. It was this was a lifelong dream. I've been wanting to see this thing since I was 10, 8, something like that. And it what's funny is it didn't dawn on me until I was telling Harrison, I looked down at Harrison, I said, okay, this is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to get a little loud. And I went, you know what, Harrison? This is something I've been wanting to do my entire life. It just dawned on me right when I was speaking to him that this is it, you know.
And he got all choked up. I'm a little overwhelmed.
Well, I
kind of
did. I mean, dude. I mean, you know what? I went on my way. I cut out when the shuttle first took off. I cut out newspaper clippings, made a notebook, drew a diagram of it launching and how it flips over and comes back to Earth. You know, did all that stuff on my own, and some nut stole it at school. I mean, you know, it's part of those, you know, you go to the extra mile and you just, it wasn't even for a class, you know, but I was so excited about it. And then it all came to fruition, or full circle, I should say, when I got the launch and everything. But the really cool part, let me get back to this. All right. I'll tell you the really cool part is we're standing there and I knew that we're going to see it before we hear it. And I was like, okay, here it comes. And I hear people go, ooh, that are a lot farther up ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you hear, and it gets kind of loud, and it's weird because you hear this noise and you don't see anything, but you know the shuttle's up in the air. You know, it's It's really, really cool. There's two more launches left, so if you get to go, I highly recommend it. And plan plenty of time to drive to Titusville, because it took us 3.5 hours to get there and back, which for a 30-minute ride. Or 30-mile ride, excuse me. 30-mile ride.
Yeah, because we went from Orlando to the Space Center, and it was about an hour one way.
Yeah, well, yeah, and now it's doubly so because of, you know, it's the last few launches and everybody wants to see them. But, yeah, it just blew me away. I had an awesome time. I even got a picture, one picture. I could barely see the shimmer of the shuttle by my eye. You know, I'm like, I still took a few more pictures. When I got to the computer and looked at them, it turned out I had a picture of it, of the SRBs peeling off. So I was like, oh, that's awesome. I actually got a picture with my 300 millimeter lens of three. You can barely see, make out, and you know, you can look at it and see what it is. You know,
did you just do pictures, stills, or did you do any video?
I did. I wanted the pictures. I can go see video of it launching all the time. I wanted to take a picture myself. Well, I can see pictures of it too, but yeah. And you know what? An opportunity missed. I wish I had paid attention to this a little closer. If I'd have known we were going to be there at the time, Thursday, they had a tweet up at Kennedy Space Center. I should have gone and done interviews and all that stuff. But you had to register ahead of time. I had no idea, and there was no way I could get in. So I wish I had done that. You know, that would
have been awesome. Revoke your Technorama press pass.
Well, it was kind of one of those things. You had to register ahead of time, and I didn't realize that until I didn't think I was going to be there for a tweet up. And then all of a sudden, I had a chance to be there. But it's all right. I had a great time.
Yeah. What, next time? Don't say that.
Huh?
Get it next time.
No. Yeah. You're right. I just didn't realize we were going to, when we planned our vacation, that was all going on, you know.
That's it.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, loads of fun. If you get a chance to go, I highly recommend it. Last two coming up.
Very jealous. Very jealous. Hey, we are at the end of the show.
Yep.
Good to have you back, partner.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be back. I missed you guys.
Special thanks to Clinton.
I missed you, Chucko. I'm kidding.
I'm going to mute that part out. Special thanks to Clinton and NCAF for filling in last week. We had a grand old time. And we appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. A lot of people are sending us links and things. It's a wonderful thing. Follow us on Twitter, and you can find out when Craig missed his tweet up. See Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama. Visit the website.
Can I interject something here?
Go ahead.
I saw Iron Man 2 today, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay after the credits, there is a little Easter egg.
Dun, dun, dun.
Just want to throw that out there. Okay, continue.
FYI, I got the DIY on the plasma cutter. That was too many letters in a row. I violated something there. But
no more than three acronyms in one sentence.
I had a visit with my friend this past weekend, and the video for the DIY plasma cutter should be showing up in the members feed shortly, so watch for that. And we'll get that going. Special thanks to listener Richard, who gave us a nice review on iTunes. Oh, where's that?
I better go look. Well, I'll wait till I finish it.
First one since Christmas. We appreciate that very much. And it was a nice one this time.
Yeah, too bad it was for another show. He mistakenly posted it.
No. He's got Technorama stuff scattered all over there.
Well, cool. Very cool.
Special thanks to Mad Marv for all the blog content he provides during the week. Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday nights and provides the storage and safety of our archived shows. Chat room supported by Steve Rickenberg and the good people over at thinstack.net. It's a wonderful team over there. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also a proud member of Farpoint Media and a whole bunch of great podcasts that you can find there. If you haven't found something yet that you like, you're not looking hard enough. And that includes this show. So keep looking. There's shows coming out all the time. I think we got, about 25,000 more this week.
Wow.
Until next time. We appreciate you listening. Tell a friend about Technorama and give us a binary high five. You remember how, right?
A Let's let me say it backwards. 101.
Technical difficulties have occurred with the hosts of this podcast. Please do not adjust your broadband connection. Thank you.